Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi-yo! Welcome to Kiwi's Birth Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Kia ora and welcome back to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. I am Jordan. I am your host for the day. I am a mum of two. I've got Jai who is 4, Ollie who is 2.5. And I've also got a business baby, Your Birth Project. If you're pregnant or you know someone who is, you need to check out Your Birth Project. It is my online hypnobirthing course designed to help you create your best birth. And I mean that, your very best birth, whatever that means to you. So go and check out Your Birth Project. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, or on our website, www.yourbirthproject.com. Whew, goodness me, this week. Isn't it crazy? Short weeks, like... yeah, Easter this weekend. I'm really looking forward to a long weekend with the boys and with Joe, but it's meant this week is totally hectic. So I appreciate your patience getting this episode out. I'm really looking forward to bringing you this one this week. I've followed Jess on social media for quite a while. She had weight loss surgery in her mid-20s, and yeah, I've been following her sort of since then. It's been really interesting watching her journey. And now her journey as a mum. So I will let her talk you through the specifics, but I hope you love the episode. As always, I am very grateful you've chosen to have me in your ears today. I would love to hear how you find the episode or just any feedback about the pod. You can find me Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N, at kiwibirthtales.com, or you can find me at kiwibirthtales.com on Instagram. Okay, enjoy the episode. Hey Jess, thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
Hey Jordan, thanks for having me.
No worries. I'm very excited to have you on. I feel like it's been a long time coming. We've been chatting about it in the background for ages. So yeah, I'm so grateful to have you here.
Yes, I feel like my pregnancy was a quite a long pregnancy as well, suffering from hypermesis. It seemed to never end. So when I finally had our little guy, it's like my life sort of returned for me, but returned in a new way. So it's exciting to be able to sort of connect in with everybody and it's a new journey of motherhood.
Yeah, amazing. And we're going to hear all about it today. But before we jump into mum life, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Jess Grayson and I run an Instagram account which is Love From Jess, and I've shared my life and my journey for the last few years on there, originally starting because I had weight loss surgery 3 years ago, and then from that we gained a following, and those that have joined us have sort of followed along on my journey to what I call health, because I had weight loss surgery to gain health, essentially. I was in a place where I wasn't happy within myself and within my body, and I needed something to change. And fortunately, I've had some incredible people come along the journey with me, and that's led us to where we are today. And I've been able to share my relationship with my husband as well on there, and now we're sharing our new journey, which includes our little guy, Kai.
Yeah, amazing. I love the name Kai. Jai was almost Kai.
I love Jai as well. Funny enough, it was a name that both Jake and I, so we both created our lists separately for what names we liked, and it's funny because Kai was the only name on these huge lists that both Jake and I had that we both had. And it's funny because Jake's other names are really quite traditional names, and I liked, quite untraditional names. So it was meant to be, and we both just loved the meaning behind it, and it just flowed. I think I like a name to have flow to it, which sounds a little bit funny, but... yeah, absolutely love his name, and he suits it. It was so funny when he first arrived into the world. I said to Jake, "Is he a Kai?" And Jake said to me, "He is." Oh, it was It was just meant to be.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. I love that. Awesome. And take us through, okay, so you had weight loss surgery about 3 years ago, and I think I started following you, God, it would have been a good couple of years ago now.
Wow.
I think not too long after that. So talk us through, yeah, a bit about your health journey and then maybe into your journey of falling pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was younger, I would have been 13, 14, I was diagnosed with endometriosis. So I suffered from endometriosis and then was later diagnosed with polycystic ovaries around 18 as well. So I had quite a difficult journey with my hormones and while I was growing up and through my teenage years, and I was advised that I would have a lot of difficulty falling pregnant and potentially conceiving naturally. And that was just a fact that I had come to terms with from a really young age, that there may be the potential that once I did meet my future husband, I would need assistance if we were to start a family. So I managed to sort of manage my hormones through varying methods, but unfortunately my weight kept getting out of control on me. And I'm quite small in stature, so I'm only 5'2", and I got to 115 kilos.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, was just too big for my small stature. I was struggling to do everyday activities like walk up the stairs and, you know, walk around the block, and I couldn't keep up or live the life that I knew I wanted to live in 5, 10, 20 years' time, and especially if that potentially included a partner or children in my future. So I was, gosh, how old was I? I think I was 27. How old? I'm 30 now. So I would have been around 26 when I had weight loss surgery. And that was, you know, it was very young, but it was a decision that I came to over a really long time. I researched the absolute crap out of it, basically, because I wanted to make sure that it was the right decision for me. I'm quite a holistic person by nature. So when I decide to do something that sort of is against the grain, per se, I want to make sure that it does align with my values, but also, I guess, future state as well. And it did. So weight loss surgery is just a tool. It works with you if you work with it. And for me, I had underlying problems with my relationship with food, and I would overeat emotionally, and over time, of course, that stretches out your stomach, and so over time I never felt the feeling of being full. So I would eat when I was happy, I'd eat when I was sad, but I never felt full. So of course it didn't matter if I was eating all the right foods and nurturing my body in the way that it needed, I was still gaining weight because I was unsatisfied. So weight loss surgery was a really powerful tool for me, and it was a really successful tool as well. And I'm, yeah, really still to this day thankful that I decided to do it, because I believe that it's directly impacted my ability to conceive naturally. Yeah. So I lost over half of my body weight. When I conceived Kai, I was sitting at around 55 kilos. And so, yeah, we had been through a really large weight loss journey. And as a result of that, I had stopped all medication. So when we conceived, I was 2.5 years post-op, and I was on no medication. I was having regular periods. Although they were painful, they were regular. So I was really thankful to sort of be on this journey as well, that my hormones were somewhat regulating. We didn't know how we were going to go with conception when we decided. So Jake and I's wedding anniversary, it's actually coming up tomorrow, will be our first wedding anniversary. And quickly after we got married, we decided, okay, we want to start trying for a family, because we thought, well, it could take, you know, a couple of years of trying. And a part of the journey with infertility is that you've got to be seen to have been trying and tried naturally to be able to go down different routes if you are struggling with infertility. And So we thought we would start trying, and if we needed to then go down different avenues, that's where we would go. And 6 weeks into trying, we received that positive pregnancy test. So it was a little bit of a shock, naturally, because I guess when you're convinced your whole life that you're going to have this extreme struggle to conceive naturally, when you do finally have those positive pregnancy, lines on the little test, it feels surreal. And it was a very emotional moment for myself and for Jake, because although we had started trying, it was, I guess, we'd both convinced ourselves that it wasn't going to happen as we wanted it to. And then from there, it was naturally the anxiety and angst of, are we going to, is this going to be a successful pregnancy? Yeah. And will I see it to full term? And it was all the anxieties that, come with, I guess, your first pregnancy or any subsequent pregnancies as well. And I've just felt extremely thankful throughout the whole period. But it was obviously, and we'll lead into that in a little bit, but it was a very difficult pregnancy. So it hasn't been without its difficulties.
For sure. Yeah. Amazing. And so you obviously get the positive pregnancy test. Were you on your own? Did you do it with Jake? Like, talk us through those really initial stages of finding out that you're pregnant, and what did you do next?
Oh, so it's so funny because as I said, my periods had returned and I was really regular. So I tracked my periods every month in my app. And I think at this point I was around a week late or 10 days late. And I thought, this is a bit odd, but we'd had a lot on, and I sort of put it down to, post-wedding, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I'd been away. And so was like, am I? Could I be? We're trying. And I'd said to Jake, maybe I should go get a pregnancy test. And he was like, okay, do you want to wait for me after work and we can take it together? And I said, yeah. So at lunchtime, in between meetings, I went down to the shops and got a pregnancy test. And it's so funny now, but it was, I brought it home and I thought, I can't wait for it. I need to know now.
Yeah.
And so I took the pregnancy test, and then of course those little double lines, they showed up within mere seconds, and I went, oh my goodness. And it was like a pack of 5 pregnancy tests. So of course I take the full 5 pregnancy tests to make sure that, this is the real deal. I don't know if anybody ever just takes one.
No, I know. It's like, was that a trick?
Yeah. So it was this really shock-inducing moment. And I haven't actually thought about this part till now, but I giggled because I messaged a couple of people that day and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to find a midwife. Like, this is happening. Like, I know there's a backlog for them. Like, super prepared, hey? Like, just can't take a second to relax. But so from those positive lines, I then thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to tell, how am I going to tell Jake? How am I going to tell my mum? And so I am terrible at keeping a secret. Like, it's written all over my face, basically. So I said to Jake, what time will you be home? So he messaged me, and I hadn't told him that I'd taken the test at this point. And he got home from a long day at work, and we were heading over to my mum's place at that point for dinner that evening. And so I said to him, oh honey, I'd hidden the pregnancy test. This is so silly now that I think about it, but I couldn't think where to hide them that he wouldn't be suspicious when I said, hey, we're having a baby. So I hid the pregnancy test in our spare bathroom drawer, and I said to him, oh, can you go into the bathroom, we need to take something to mum. I can't remember what it was, but I said, there's something in the bathroom drawer, can you go grab it for me? And so he was like, oh, okay, yep, and goes into the bathroom drawer to grab it out, and I'm videoing him, and he looks in the bathroom drawer, and I think it took him a few minutes to register what he was looking at. Yeah. And he looks up in the mirror and looks at me, and then just like bursts into tears and then turns around and we both crying. And it was, yeah, a really beautiful moment. But he was just like, oh my goodness. It was just complete shock and like excitement all rolled into one. Yeah. And it was such a, yeah, surreal moment, a really surreal moment. We both couldn't believe it. And then the funniest part is we picked up burger fuel for dinner on my way to my mom's place. And when we got there, I was like, oh, mom, like, can you look in the burger fuel bag? And I'd hidden the pregnancy test in the burger fuel bag.
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
Oh, I know. I was like, it's not this, like, it's this funny, like, weird, like, who hides a pregnancy test in a burger fuel bag? but I was like, the people in my life I can't keep secrets from. So it's like, they know something's happening. So I'm like, I've got to do it quick and fast and in the most weird way possible.
Yeah. Amazing.
So, yes.
And how did your mum react?
Oh, tears, joys, excitement, she was just over the moon. And my mum and I are very close, so it's her first, I'm her only daughter, so it's her first grandchild from me, obviously. And so I think there's a special connection there. So yeah, really, really lucky. She's called Nana Juju. So Nana Juju and Kai have a very special relationship already.
Yeah, amazing. Very cool. And you mentioned that you were like texting a couple of midwives already. So take us through finding a midwife. How did you go about picking one? And yeah, how did you feel with that process?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I had been advised by quite a few people that midwives were in shortage, essentially, here in Auckland, but I guess all over New Zealand from what I've sort of later learned as well. So it was something that I knew that I wanted to get onto quite quickly, because for me it was really important that the relationship I had with my midwife was one that was really supportive but also really healthy. I wanted somebody that I was going to bond with and connect with in a way that my needs and feelings, I guess, were validated and my needs were met. So when I started looking for a midwife, I messaged a girl that I know who had recently had some children, and she advised who her midwife was. And so I reached out to her, and who Alicia became my midwife. But when I did reach out to Alicia, unfortunately, she wasn't taking patients for January, which is when Kai was meant to be due. And so I thought, oh, bugger, like, I can't have the lady that I want. So then continued to reach out to, I believe it was five more, and I only heard back from one of them, and she was booked as well. So at that point it was, you know, I was freshly pregnant. I was probably, you know, 3 weeks pregnant at that stage, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able to find a midwife. But then fortunately Alicia had availability come forth, and she messaged me later on and said, oh, actually, like, I can take you on if you're still looking for one. And this was about a week later, and I just sort of left it and gone, okay, like, we will find a person that's meant to be. And so it was meant to be, because she obviously could fit me in. And Alicia was incredible. She is relatively new to midwifery, and but she's assisted many, many births, and she was just fantastic. She really shone throughout our birth as well, and had played a really big role in, I guess, my positive birth story. There was this particular moment where when we went to the emergency cesarean, and I was having the epidural put in, I looked up and she was right there in front of me. And at that point, which we'll get to a little bit later as well, I didn't know that she was there because, unfortunately, I didn't dilate. So she wasn't, when I was in the hospital, she wasn't there throughout majority of the birth. So I didn't think she was actually going to be there for the cesarean. But she worked her magic and was in the operating room. And when I looked up, there she was. And she put her hand on me and she reassured me and, you know, let me know that I had this and that it was going to be okay. And it was this beautiful moment where I really was able to know that I had everything under control and that I was about to meet my son and that this was a really beautiful moment and everything was okay. So it was, it's hard to put into words how much that moment meant to me, but that was everything I needed from her at that point in time. But throughout my pregnancy, she never once made me feel judged or she never had any negativity towards any of the questions that I asked or presented. She supported me and really understood that I like to sort of come to conclusions myself and that I don't want to necessarily have anything, any preconceived ideas placed onto me or onto my journey, but what I do need is support and I do need somebody that's educated. So she was able to be that person, and talking to others that have had different experiences with their midwives, I definitely feel that she was the best fit for me.
Amazing. I actually know Alicia.
Really?
Yeah, really well. So that's lovely that she was
your midwife. She's a sweetheart, isn't she?
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, amazing. Cool. And take us through your first trimester. So I know you've mentioned a couple of times that you had hyperemesis, but take us through, how did you feel like from that positive test? Did you have many symptoms that kicked off straight away? Or what did your first trimester look like? Talk us through that.
I look back now and I go, heck, how did I survive pregnancy? Because if something could have gone wrong, it went wrong. So my first trimester, I would have found out I was pregnant around that 3-week mark. And then by week 4, I was in hospital with infected teeth. So my wisdom teeth had flared up and abscessed. Yeah. And unfortunately, that led to me being admitted. So that's when we first had our first admission into hospital and first round of antibiotics, which was really, upsetting, because you're carrying this precious little life and you think, oh gosh, what am I putting into my body? That unfortunately I needed to get better to, be able to be best for him and carry him. So that was our first round. I'd had, by the end of my pregnancy, my wisdom teeth swelled 3 times. So that was 3 abscesses. It's quite funny now looking back on the swollen photos. I looked like a little child. But now my wisdom teeth are completely fine and I haven't had any issues with my teeth. So that was the first round and the first trimester. The morning sickness and what we later discovered was hypermesis started around the same time as well. And that for me was just constant nausea and vomiting. I did decide to take medication, which was my saving grace. Without being medicated, my pregnancy would have looked very, very different. And I'm very thankful to have been able to make that decision and decide that was the best option for me and for Kai. But it is, again, really a nerve-wracking decision making, the choice to take medication, because I was, as I said, I was medication-free before pregnancy. So for me, it was quite confronting to have to be medicated, because it's something that I feel quite strongly in, being able to support my body without medication. So it was this sort of catch-22 of having to take what I needed to be able to function on a day-to-day basis. And then from there we had all the joyous, pelvic pain and growth that comes with it. And there wasn't a list of things, I think, that sort of happened in that first trimester that I went, whoa, is this what pregnancy is? Nobody told me about any of this. I thought, women are supposed to have this pregnancy glow. Why am I looking like a chipmunk that is just constantly nauseous. And I think the funniest thing is that, you know, in pregnancy, it's that common sort of, I don't want to say misconception, but it's common that you don't tell anybody because you're, I guess, there's the narrative that if you were to lose the baby, then that's not a grief that should be shared. I didn't necessarily agree with that. So I told our friends and family quite early on, because for me it was, I would want to be supported, and I needed to be supported because of what was going on for me throughout that period. So we told everyone quite early, and that I still stand by that decision, and I'm still happy that we did that. And if it was to have turned out differently, I still feel that I would feel the same. So it was a really, really interesting first trimester. I think I started a list on my phone at the start, which was like a list that was like things that people say that fuck you off, basically. I don't know if I can say fuck off here, but fuck you off, because people would keep saying to me, oh, you know, morning sickness only lasts 12 weeks, like you'll be right. And, you know, the narrative that it's all worth it in the end. And it is, but that's not necessarily what people need to be told when they're, you know, freshly pregnant and experiencing this for the first time. And I found that, the support that was received in that first trimester really didn't match the support that I needed. So that was quite interesting as well. That was a interesting sort of journey to navigate. Fortunately, I do have some really great friends that I was able to share my list with and have Google with and tell them that they were on the list.
Oh, God, this just, isn't it crazy the things that people say when you're pregnant that, like, they probably wouldn't say any other time.
Unhinged. Like, absolutely unhinged. It still puts me in a state of shock what people have said to them, what I had said to myself. And I often think about, I'm quite confident and self-assured, but there's many people that would be not in that same place with themselves, and some of the things that people say are really detrimental. And it's the one thing I cannot urge enough is to think about what you say before you say it. And that's with anybody that's in a vulnerable state. You know, we should be constantly taking into account the narrative that we have going on for ourselves and what's coming out of our mouths.
Amen to that. Okay, and take us through, so you obviously like get through your first trimester. Were you diagnosed with hyperemesis at that time, or
Hyperemesis post 12 weeks, and from there we came up with a treatment plan basically that was to continue being medicated. And I was fortunate in the aspect that we had cycled multiple anti-nausea drugs at that point. And I found one that essentially helped me with the vomiting, but I was still mostly in a state of being nauseous 7 days a week. And that to me was a better state than ending up in hospital or continuous vomiting and not being able to, you know, keep any nutrients down. Unfortunately, I really did struggle still with any fluid intake. So it's quite funny because a lot of people obviously struggle with food. For me, it was fluid. So I feel like during my pregnancy, I was just in a constant state of being dehydrated. But I still was able to, consume food, which was, you know, I am really, thankful for, especially now. We've got a healthy little boy, so that's really positive as well.
Yeah, amazing. And how did you find the rest of your pregnancy? Did you do all of the sort of standard testing that's offered to you? And did you eventually feel any better? Like, did you stop the all-day nausea at any time? Talk us through, the rest of your pregnancy.
In the first trimester, we did take the NIP test. So Jake and I decided that that was the best option for us. We wanted to, you know, take all the testing that we could. And fortunately, we were in a position to decide to take that test. That gave us some reassurance as well as we entered into that second trimester. The second trimester, again, I was nauseous and still suffering. I sort of went into, I guess, quite a quiet era of my life. I processed my pregnancy and was really in survival mode. So I was sort of a shell of myself when I reflect back on it, because I was just day in and day out surviving. I didn't, upon reflection now, I didn't realize how active my life was, and everything that I was involved in sort of went on hold to be able to survive pregnancy. So the second trimester was much of the same. I suffered from hypermesis, and then I also broke out in pups rash. What else? I'll just have a, I know I wrote a post on all the things that happened to me, and I'm like, it's funny how your brain, like, I'm like, what happened during pregnancy? Now, post pregnancy, I'm like, I can't remember. The fatigue, constipation, thrush, all of these things. And then, you know, to the less serious things like pigmentation, reflux, weight gain, they all really hit me in the second trimester. And then coming into my third trimester, I'm quite a positive person by nature. So although I had all of these things happening to me, I still tried to see the positive in moments. And Jake and I, you know, we still tried to take time away for ourselves, and he took me to Queenstown for my birthday, and we were still able to, you know, enjoy small moments together. But I guess the hard thing that people sort of don't see from the outside in is that every day I still had to rest, and that I was still nauseous, and that I was still medicated, and that most days included tears. And it's hard to see that from the outside, but it was a really long, hard slug. And I think because we found out so early, and I was unfortunately affected from the onset, it was a long, long journey.
Absolutely.
So I was really excited for birth.
Oh, I bet. You're like, just get this baby out of me now. I've had enough.
It was so funny because, like, yes and no. Like, I still was really proud that I was Kai's home, and that I was the first home that he had, and that every scan we had, which there was multiple to make sure that, you know, everything was going okay, he was doing really well. He was thriving. And that was really important to me because it's not like, I think as a mother, there's a point where there's this natural feeling where you would suffer for your children. It's a mother's instinct almost. And I knew that as long as he was thriving and everything was happening for him that needed to be, I was like, oh, I can get through this. We can do another day. We can do another week. And so I am really proud to have been able to carry him to over full term, the little bug that wanted to come out. He was happy as Larry in there. But I am really.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Be proud of that.
So
he went to 41 and 5. Was definitely ready to come out. He was well cooked.
And did you have any, like, thoughts about how you wanted your birth to go? Did you have a birth plan? Did you do any birth education? Like, talk us through the sort of end of your pregnancy. How are you feeling? What were you doing? Yeah, what was going on?
So I did. From sort of the early pregnancy, I started immersing myself in, I guess, births, because I'd never been exposed to births, being newly pregnant, and this being my first pregnancy. I hadn't ever been exposed to what birth could look like. Obviously, as a woman, you understand that, you know, there's a cesarean or a natural birth, but I'd never seen one. So I started immersing myself in birthing videos, and a part of that was immersing Jake into birthing videos as well. We were both pretty wide-eyed and opened when we saw our first vaginal birth and then subsequent births after that. But I think that was the best thing that I could have done for both of us, because it really, over the course of that 9 months, it really opened our eyes into how beautiful it is, one, life into the world, but two, it took away the fear behind birth for us. And then post watching lots of videos, we both did the birth course and came up with our, I don't like to call it a birth plan, but it was what our ideal birthing situation was. So for me, I wanted my birthing partners to be my husband Jake and my mum Jules, and I ideally wanted to have a water birth, because for me, water is a really great pain management tool. It's been a pain management tool that I've used for years with my endometriosis and polycystic ovaries. So it's naturally a place that brings me a state of calm. And so I was hopeful to have a water birth, because I felt that that was going to be a birthing option that I knew would enable me to use all of the tools that I had in my toolbox and really be able to provide me with a successful vaginal birth. However, we didn't have that birth, but I still had a really positive birthing experience. I look back on my birth with fondness, which I guess is quite, people, when I told people my birth birth story, they've gone, holy moly, like, you know, that's quite a lot to process. But for me, it was still a really beautiful experience because of the tools that I had to be able to process that birth. And it's something that I look back on with immense fondness, despite it being in an emergency cesarean.
And take us through, so you said you went overdue, so talk us through that final stage of pregnancy. Did you end up going into spontaneous labor, or what happened next? Take us through your labor and birth story.
It's a little bit funny, because so once you hit that magical, you know, 40 week number, which is just a date and time, so I was very accepting that, you know, it was just a date and time, and that I was really hopeful that we would go into labor spontaneously and have that experience. We were nearing, obviously, getting closer and closer to the discussions of induction, and it wasn't that I didn't want to be induced, I just wasn't necessarily open to the idea, because as much as I didn't have a birth plan, I definitely had an attachment to going into labor naturally. I hadn't realized I had that attachment until we got to that stage where we were talking induction, and I was like, oh, I really still have some work to do here. So that was quite interesting. Post 40 weeks, we started having the discussions of what day are we going to go into labor, and Jake's birthday is actually the 5th of February, and we had this joke in the family that, oh, Kai's gonna come on Jake's birthday, he's like, Dad, you're gonna have to share with me, you know, letting him know who's boss. And funnily enough, I took Jake out for lunch for his birthday, and then we had a stop at the hospital on the way home to book an hour induction. And as we're driving home after having the discussion of induction and booking me in for that Friday, so this was the Monday, and as we're driving home and on that afternoon, I went into labor. So we're driving home and I start to have contractions, which I guess it's now it makes me giggle again, but I didn't know what it was. So I get home and I'm like to Jake, I'm going to have a shower. Like, I've got these, you know, potentially Braxton Hicks happening and I feel a bit uncomfortable. And I hop into the shower and about 5 minutes later, I call out to Jake and I said, honey, I'm in labor. I'm having contractions. We need to start timing these because I haven't felt this before. And so from there, my contractions were 5 minutes apart, a minute to a minute and a half long. And I labored at home until around 2 a.m. in the morning, which is when we first went into the hospital. Thankfully, Alicia was actually managing another birth at that time. So she was already at the hospital. And we went into the hospital and had our first check. I was only 2 centimeters dilated, so I was sent home again to continue laboring at home and given some pain medication to essentially help me try to get some rest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get rest, but I did continue to labor over the continuing hours before we went back to hospital at around 8 a.m. in the morning. Throughout that period, it was managed via the pain medication and breath work and really breathing through those contractions. Contractions are, you know, they're a funny thing. They're hard to describe. For me, having really painful periods, that's the most similar thing I can explain they felt like. And fortunately, I was no stranger to breath work because that's how I managed my periods for a number of years now. So it was really great in terms of over the hours being able to put to the test all of the work that I've done. And I don't want to say I enjoyed laboring, but I'm extremely proud of how I labored and how I was able to breathe through and manage that pain and manage, I guess, the experience that I was experiencing. And also enabling Jake to sort of know what I needed from him as well. So we then went back into the hospital at 8 a.m. and I was rechecked. I unfortunately hadn't dilated any further, but my contractions had moved along to sort of 4 to 3.5 minutes apart. So they were speeding up. At this stage, I hadn't had my waters broken, so we were waiting for my waters to potentially break. Then got to about lunchtime and I was in a day-stay ward at this point, so I hadn't actually entered into one of the birthing suites at North Shore Hospital yet. And at lunchtime, the medical team came and checked on me because Alicia had gone home that morning. And if I was to dilate further, she would come back in at that stage. So the midwives and medical team came and checked on me, the OB at that point, and I still hadn't dilated further. So we discussed breaking my waters manually and potentially putting me on a drip and looking to speed the labor up. So we talked through what that looked like and they moved me on to the birthing suites. And from there, we broke my waters manually, which was quite an experience. That was probably the first moment that I felt, I guess, a little bit emotional in the sense of this birth was taking a different turn, and I really had to trust in other people that the experience was going to lead to a positive birth, and that Kai was going to enter the world, I guess, in a way that he was going to be safe and we were both going to be safe and healthy. And that was, yeah, that was quite a moment. Having my waters broken, it was funny, Jake had gone to go get my birthing bags from the car. So as he walked back in, my waters had been broken and I had a lot of fluid. So it was going everywhere. And I can remember Jake putting his hand on my shoulder and, you know, comforting me, and I just burst into tears. And it was not that I was in tears because I was, you know, painful or I didn't understand what was happening or I didn't consent to what was happening. All of those things were done, which I'm really pleased about. But it was just this sort of emotional moment of, we're getting closer, but I hadn't spontaneously had this part happen for me. Yeah. So it was really about having to trust in the professionals around me that we were going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then from there, once my waters were broken, my contractions sped up dramatically. They became about a minute to 30 seconds apart, and they were lasting a minute each time. And we'd lost Kai's heartbeat from the monitors on my stomach, so they'd had to put the electrode onto his head. Mm-hmm. And from there, that kept dropping off, and he went into distress, and I also subsequently went into distress as well, and started shaking quite hard. So they made the decision that we needed to go for an emergency cesarean. Through that process, they still required my consent, and yes, I consented. That's quite an experience, having to consent and also sign that you're going for a cesarean while you're contracting. But I was really, I guess, proud of the decision, because while I was laboring, I had said to them, yep, we need to go for a cesarean. I was the one that had made that decision when I'd reached the point of understanding that my body and Kai couldn't take going through what we were going through.
Yeah.
And so they said to Jake, you've got a couple of minutes to get changed. So he whipped on the scrubs and they rushed us through those corridors, and were explaining the process to me while we were being whipped down to the surgery room. At that point, I was still breathing through the contractions and using the tools that I had from the course. And it was at that point, they had said to me that they may need to put me under GA because of the situation. And I, again, felt a little bit nervous about that, because there was certain points for me that were really important, like the skin to skin and having Jake present. Those were things that even with a cesarean birth, or even with a vaginal birth, those were the things that deep down were really important to me. And so that made me feel a little bit nervous, but again, it was about the health of myself and my baby. So I understood and consented again. But from there, the OB really understood my wishes in that regard and pushed for, if we had time once we reached the theatre room, to check on Kai's heart and to see if he was, you know, stable enough to have the epidural done, to take that route. And fortunately, they were able to locate his heartbeat, and he was stable enough, so we were able to do that. And again, that's when Alicia popped up. So it was this incredible experience that, you know, was probably only 5 minutes long, but it still feels like this long stretch in my head, because there was just so many working parts happening. And the team was just absolutely incredible. The medical team, I just cannot I could not thank them enough because they were so professional and so calming, and they created a really beautiful experience for me despite it being this challenging situation that was an emergency. And so from there, we then went into the cesarean, and Jake was able to be present, which was really, really amazing. We, once they had me on the operating table, Jake was able to come in and he sat next to me, and they said to him, you know, you can watch the birth if you like. And Alicia was there to be able to take some photos as well. But Jake and I decided that we just wanted to talk to each other while the process was happening, and have these moments together before Kai came into the world. And it was this really special moment, and it's one I will, you know, hold dear to my heart forever. But the first time we heard Kai cry, and, you know, it was Jake and I were looking at each other, and they held Kai up, and he did this big squawk, and was our boy had entered Earth's side, and it was just so emotional and such a beautiful experience. And I looked at Jake and he looked at me, and it was this moment of we've done this, you know, we're a team and now we're a family. And from there we were able to do skin to skin immediately, and he was healthy, and was really incredible. We spent about an hour doing skin to skin, and I was put back together, stitched up, and the OB that was doing that did an incredible job. She really took her time, and I really felt safe and like I was looked after, and that the process wasn't rushed. I was able to watch Jake cut the umbilical cord, which was quite funny as well, because I'm obviously on the operating table. Jake and Alicia have Kai, and they're doing all the weight and measurements, and Jake's cutting the cord. And as I look over, I can see Jake cutting it. But I guess when you've never cut an umbilical cord, you don't know what to expect. And Jake kind of cut it, but didn't cut it fully. And it was like, I can remember looking at him and being like, oh my gosh, he's buggered our son's umbilical cord. He's gonna give him a funny belly button.
Yeah,
and it's so funny now that I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what I was thinking. But it was really funny, because then when Jake came back and he did skin to skin with Kai as well, he said it didn't cut the way I expected it to. It felt really weird. So yeah, that was something I didn't expect.
They are like, I can't remember what Joe described it as, but they're like thick and like gritty, like not the doesn't look like something you should cut with scissors, I don't reckon.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how Jake described it as well. Funny enough, Jake was like, I needed some power tools.
Yeah.
So then from there we went back up onto the ward, and we were discharged from hospital less than 24 hours later, and we were fortunate to go up to a birth care center, which we then spent five days up there.
Yeah. And how did you find the birth center experience? Like, did you find that valuable? Would you recommend it? Talk us through the first week with your baby.
Absolutely. So birth care was extremely valuable for us. The midwives there are incredible, and what we learnt, but also those first few days, really getting to sort of know Kai and know each other again as a family unit, were invaluable. Everybody sort of goes through this, the second day experience where your baby cluster feeds and you go, oh my goodness, what happened to that little perfect angel for the first 24 hours of life? And you go, what have I done? Will I ever know what sleep is again? And all of these, you know, all of these thoughts and emotions are still running rife. And in my case, I unfortunately was in a lot of pain postpartum, so it was quite difficult. And we took full advantage of having the full 5 days up at birth care. I think you can either do 3 or 5 days. And we took the 5 days because I needed it whilst I was healing. And yeah, it was such an experience. I guess having a safe space to ask questions, but also to bond and get to know your baby, but be away from everybody that sort of so desperately, because they love you and love your baby, want to be there straight away. But you need that time for yourselves, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's something I will definitely, you know, take away for any of my friends or family that have babies, is understanding that people need that time initially. And I think that's a really important thing to be able to give them. And so I was really thankful that Jake and I were able to take that. We were able to bond with Kai. Jake carried a really big load in those initial days, and I'm extremely thankful for that. For me, my scar line, unfortunately, it healed really well, but I did have quite a large hematoma, mm-hmm. and also ended up with an internal infection. So the pain that I was experiencing wasn't necessarily normal caesarean pain. It was caused by a couple of other things that were contributing to it. So even post-birth, of course, I wasn't having an easy ride initially. Mm. So it was like one thing after the other, and sort of learning to process that whilst also being early days postpartum was quite a lot. But we got there, and we just had this little guy, Earthside, and it was just the most incredible, and still is the most incredible experience. Every day we're learning something new. We're learning how to be better partners to one another, to be able to be the best parents that we can. And it's this incredible experience of Kai's given Jake and I so much more than we could have ever anticipated. And he's given us, you know, this sense of joy and a love that you don't really know until you experience it. It's different than the love that you have for, you know, your family, your husband, your wife, your brother, mother. It's this sort of devoted love that we both feel for him, that we would do anything for him. And it's beautiful. I love it so much. And I'm just so appreciative of it. And I love watching, I still love watching, but those first early days, I loved watching the connection build between Jake and Kai. And that was so special within that first week. Birth care also enabled us to sort of learn how to hold him, learn how to change him, learn how to bath him. All of these things that I guess don't necessarily come naturally. It's you're holding this, the most precious thing in the world to you, and you don't want to do anything wrong. To have that reassurance and guidance from professionals is absolutely invaluable. And again, in a safe space where you're looked after, and I could not recommend it enough.
Yeah, amazing. And how are you feeling, like, you're 6 weeks down the track now physically? How do you feel, like, recovering from your caesarean section, and how are you finding that?
So I'm doing really well now. It's definitely taken the first sort of 4 to 5 weeks. Initially, I probably went a little bit too hard in terms of trying to recover and not taking it slow enough. I had started walking, you know, about 10 days post-op, and was trying to, get out and exercise already. And I realized now that I was probably perhaps a little too eager, and that rest is equally as important.
Amazing. And have there been any, like, products or anything that you've used either for you or for Kai that you're like, I absolutely love that, and I don't know how I would have survived without it, or maybe just something that you'd recommend to others in the similar sort of stage of their journey?
So for me, I absolutely love the little Bonds onesies. I didn't have too many when we first initially were postpartum, and now I've gone out and brought a whole lot more and a lot more for the next stages. Yeah. They're just, they keep them warm, but they're breathable. They're a beautiful fabric. They wash really well. So could not recommend the Bonds onesies more. Mm-hmm. But also a nappy bin, which sounds kind of funny because I was like, I don't need a nappy bin. I'll just put his nappies in the bin, you know, and empty the bin as normal. But little did I know that you definitely need a nappy bin. And that purchase, I think Jake and I, when we first got home, and it was a few days, after being home, we went down to Baby Bunting and purchased a nappy bin. and we also purchased a couple of other little products that I hadn't necessarily thought of, like bottles and the devices to sort of, you know, clean your bottles with and sterilizers, etc. Because a part of the journey that I hadn't expected was that breastfeeding wasn't as easy as I wanted it to be initially postpartum, and it took a while for my milk to come in fully, so we ended up having to formula feed and breastfeed. And so for us, I hadn't prepared that could be a part of the journey.
So
I think having some key things like bottles and what the best bottles are for if you're wanting to breastfeed and formula feed, being prepared with that is really great as well.
Awesome. And how have you found like your feeding journey since? Where are you at with that now?
So we're exclusively breastfeeding now, but it's taken us a little while to get here. Initially, Kai's weight dropped past the 10% threshold when we were at birth care, which was really confronting and did cause me a lot of anxiety, which I'm still working through, because I naturally, it's the first thing when he's upset or he, you know, is sort of maybe not latching as well, I get nervous that he's not getting enough from me. But from there, he did regain weight, and we my milk did come through. I did touch base with a lactation consultant to be able to help me through some of the concerns, and the concerns were with myself. I was really anxious and worried that I wasn't feeding correctly, and the lactation consultant that we brought on to help me, she really provided me with the reassurance that I needed, that Kai's latch was correct, that my milk had come through, and that just because I wasn't showing signs of engorgement or leaking, which I guess is what I associated with being, you know, having a good supply and being able to breastfeed, that wasn't the case. So I've really had to let go of, I guess, the expectations that I was holding of, you know, having leaky boobs or potentially having to be able to pump and having a freezer stash of milk, that meant I was, you know, feeding well, and that meant that Kai was getting a good supply from me, because it's not the case. And I had to also really accept that, I guess, I didn't realize I was holding an attachment to breastfeeding, and that I've always stood by fed as best, and I truly believe that. And I deep down, I don't have an issue with formula, but what I had, I guess, an issue with was that I wanted to be able to have that bond, and I didn't realize that. I found that really confronting, the thought of not having that, but it's not true. So I've really had to work through sort of those anxieties and where that anxiety was stemming from, and break that down. And now if I feel that he needs to be topped up with formula, we will top him up. Absolutely. And I've tried pumping, I've tried all sorts of pumps, but my body and I, we aren't pump friendly. So I've let go of this expectation that I need to have a freezer stashed full to be able to feed him adequately, because again, that's not a truth. And there is absolutely nothing wrong if I need to go out for a couple of hours and he needs to have a bottle of formula. He's in 5 years' time, nobody's going to know if he had a bottle of formula or if he was on the left or right boob. So as long as he's fed and he's happy, that is absolutely the most important part. And it's a beautiful bonding experience for him and Jake, or him and my mum to be able to have as well. And I love being able to watch, you know, Jake give him a bottle when he needs to. And him and I, we still have this beautiful experience, regardless of if that's on the breast or if that's the bottle. So yeah it's been an experience to get here though.
Yeah, for sure. And it, like, I think it's really interesting, like, going into pregnancy and having a baby, you have all of these ideas, and you've also got all of these, like, subconscious beliefs that you don't actually realize are there until you get to a point of, like, where you're confronted with something like that. That you actually have to explore it and understand a bit more about, like, what you truly believe. And sometimes that can be really challenging if what you really do believe, like, doesn't play out how you wanted it to, or doesn't play out how you expected. So yeah, I think it's really interesting to hear you talk through your journey like that.
Absolutely. And I think as well, for me, I did believe that I would head into breastfeeding with ease, because I was fortunate enough to be able to collect quite a lot of colostrum prior to Kai's arrival. So I had no troubles expressing colostrum, and that started really early for me. So I did hold this belief that breastfeeding would come naturally and be what I call easy. And that wasn't the case. And I guess nothing had prepared, I hadn't done any work or preparation for that to be the case. So that's something that I think, you know, you can never know everything, and you can never be prepared for everything. But that's something, if I was to go into pregnancy again and go into having another baby, just knowing that it's okay, and that you can educate yourself in that space and support yourself in many ways. I guess, like how I did with birth, I felt like with my birth I'd done a lot of education, and that correlated to my positive experience. Whereas postpartum, I'm not sure I did the same level of education on what to expect if things didn't go the way I initially expected them to, and how that would impact me. But we're getting there now, so it's all a journey. That's all learnings to be had.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jess, for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. I have absolutely loved having you. I know there'll be lots of people out there who love your episode too. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks for joining me on this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed listening. As always, I'm so grateful you've chosen to have me in your ears this week. I look forward to bringing you another birth story very soon. And a reminder, if you're pregnant or know someone who is, make sure you go and check out Your Birth Project.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.